Some reason this is, I just stopped the stream. I don't know. Satan, I just rebuke you trying to stop this from getting out. I know that this is a teaching that's going to help God's people. We break your power right now over this stream, over the work that God has given us to do. I just come up, just pray in the spirit real quick, honey. Ishe kola la glasi ke. Shondo lolo go shatala la glasi ke di di be se kola la ba 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 shi ke di di be she ko. Shondo lolo bobo satala la glasi ke di di be she ko. Shonto lolo bobo bobo shi ke di di be she kola la ba 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 shi ke. We just come up against you, Satan. We come up against you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. All righty. God is good. Let's get in here. Man, he don't want this teaching to get out. The enemy has really been fighting this work, but we're going to be persistent in this. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Alrighty. In Matthew 13:31-32. It reads, "And another parable he put forth to them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds. But when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs or herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air can nest in its branches." So this is what Jesus taught. And a lot of times, people despise the teachings of Jesus. Believe it or not, a lot of people do despise the teachings of Jesus. They're very simple, very practical, and easy to do. But a lot of times the enemy creeps in there, and we call him, he's a very subtle foe. The enemy is a very subtle foe, and begin to add more than is necessary. And when you add too much to things, it convolutes and complicates it, and then you miss the heart of what God is saying in his word. So this mustard seed faith is important. And so what I'm going to share with you today is very important for having success in God's word. All righty? So next is Jesus is telling us that, yes, it may appear to be the least. Talking about this mustard seed. He's using this analogy. But it becomes greater. So he's conveying that God's kingdom and his ways and the things may seem small and insignificant, especially when you operate in worldly logic. It can seem very small and insignificant. It can seem foolish to people. But he goes on to say, even though it may seem small or insignificant at first, but they are in fact the greater way. So at first it may seem like, what is this? This is silly. The things he asks us to do. To speak those things that aren't as though they are. That's what God says. We're to speak things that are not as though they are. Because he said to do that in his word. Now, a lot of people in their intellect is not going to do that. Because it seems insignificant. It seems foolish. But when you start doing it, you start getting results. You go, wait a minute, this really works. So that's important. So when we choose to do things God's way, we move from being the least to becoming greater. Not the greater, but becoming greater. We become greater. So it's time to go from least to greater. And we do that with the word of God. But first things first is you don't despise at all. Don't despise God's way of doing things. Don't despise people. Don't despise his principles and precepts. Why? Because God's ways is wise. I'll say that again. God's way is wise. We always must remember that. That God's way is wise. Got that? Mm-hmm. So the enemy's strategy is to make us despise. Look at this. This is important. The enemy's strategy is to make us despise ourselves and others. He seeks to convince us that what is small, weak, or different has no value. That's what the enemy do. The word says that we fight not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. So our fight's not with people, but the enemy will use people that don't know who they are in Christ to oppose the things of God. Just like when Jesus told Peter, when Peter was telling him, be it far from him, meaning be it far from Jesus, that he should go to the cross, Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. Listen to what Jesus said. He says, you savor, or you speak the things of men. And so Peter was just thinking things of men because he didn't know. But when men talk men's talk, like the world's way, you got to understand that their ignorance is being released from their mouth because they don't understand the ways of God. And people that don't understand the ways of God are being influenced by their lack of knowledge that comes from the world system. They mean well. There's a lot of people in your life that mean well, but don't know what the words say.
Amen.
So they'll give you advice that sounds like it's good advice, but what does the word say? As my spiritual father used to say, Brother Larry, what the word say about that thing? The word is the final authority. All righty. So when we honor God's ways, even in their simplicity or simplistic ways of doing things, we break the enemy's lies of inferiority and comparison. So I call it comparisonitis. The enemy wants you to compare yourself with other people. That is not wise. You are unique and fearfully and wonderfully made.
Amen.
God's ways may appear least. Again, I'm saying the same thing, but they are always the greater way. So God's way is the greater way. So when we plant the seed of God's word that seems according to the world system or way and foolish or insignificant, that's the greater way. The greater way is sowing that word inside of your heart. Cultivating, as we were talking about it all last month, cultivating that word and keeping the weeds out of your heart and out of your mind so that God's word can grow. Now, I want to talk about, this is section two. And forgive me, I didn't tell you section one. Section one is don't despise yourself and others. That was section one. I'll go back. Section one was don't despise yourself and others. We had to break through that. We had to break through that, the enemy's defenses that's trying to shut this stream down. So section one is don't despise yourself and others. This is a spiritual law. What I'm sharing with you is spiritual laws and principles of the kingdom. Okay? And this is what we're going to get into now, which is section two. Oop, sorry, I went to the wrong one. Section two, which is you must eat better to be better. Section two is you must eat better to be better. Okay. Remember, we're harvesting the word of God. We're eating the fruits of the scriptures, the promises of God. We're feeding on Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
See, when you start eating better, you'll be better. Well, how do I be? What does it mean to eat better? Feed on Jesus.
Amen.
He's the way, the truth, and the life. He is the bread of life. His words is the bread of life. Get that word in your spirit and let it grow up. Feed on that word. Nourish yourself in that word and you will be better. So I want to talk about Mephibosheth out of 2 Samuel 9, 7 through 9, where it reads. So David said to him, David was speaking to Mephibosheth. Which was Jonathan's son. He was the grandson of King Saul. And so David made a covenant with him that he would, you know, take care of members of his family and he wouldn't just kill them once he rose up to be king. So he had a covenant with Jonathan. So it says, so David said to him, he's talking to Mephibosheth. Do not fear. I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake. And I will restore to you the land of Saul, your grandfather. And you shall eat bread at my table. Look what it says. Continually. That's where I get that from. To be better, you're going to have to eat better. Glory to God. This represents the covenant promise of Jesus.
Amen.
When we feed on Jesus, when you eat better, eat Jesus, eat more Jesus. What's that thing? Eat more chicken. No, you need to eat more Jesus. How do you know if you're eating Jesus? How do you know if Jesus is on the recipe of that message? Are they talking about him? Are you hearing them talking about Jesus? Are they building you up? Are you hearing that name in the message?
Amen.
You know, the devil don't want that name to go out. The devil don't want nobody to mention the name, because it's that name that makes him bow to his lordship.
Hallelujah.
See, he wants you to listen to a lot of psychoanalytical preaching and teaching. But what you need is the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is in the faith in that name. Faith in what Jesus has done for you. Faith in who you are in Christ Jesus. Faith in the prosperity that he has already provided for you. He needs you to have faith. And it starts with a mustard seed. All you need is faith in Jesus, baby, and everything going to be all right. But if you're not hearing about what Jesus has done for you, you ain't going to have no faith for it, because faith comes how?
By hearing.
So how are you going to have faith for Jesus and what he's already done for you if you ain't hearing about it? I mean, this is not rocket science here, man. You need a person with a college education to complicate what I just said. Now, I'm not trying to belittle anyone. It's the truth. Don't get all convoluted with big words, because it impresses you. Are they building you up in Jesus? That's the bottom line, man. So to be better, you got to feed better. So look what he says. Then look what Mephibosheth said in verse 8. It says, then he bowed himself and said, what is your servant that you should look upon such a dead dog? Mephibosheth saw himself as insignificant, a dead dog. The woman that needed her daughter healed, the Syrophoenician woman that came to Jesus to get her daughter healed. Jesus said, the healing bread is for the children. It's the children's bread. Healing is the children's bread. It should not be given to dogs. She saw herself. Okay, yeah. But even the dogs get the crumbs. She had a higher self-worth of getting her healing. She refused for her daughter not to get healed. She wouldn't take no for an answer. Glory to God. Mephibosheth, I'm here to tell you, you're better than a dead dog. You're not a dead dog. You're better than a dog. You're a child of the Most High God.
Hallelujah.
So you got to get that mindset out of you. How do I do it, Pastor Larry? You got to get the seed of the word of who you are in Jesus. You got to get delivered from that lowly bar mindset. Lowly bar. You thinking below the bar. You got to start thinking higher. The Bible says that to think of yourself more higher than you are, but you're supposed to think of yourself high. Why? You're supposed to think of yourself in line with who you are in Jesus. You're a king's kid, and you're supposed to be dining with the king. See, I don't think of myself higher than Jesus, but man, I'm up there sitting at his table.
Amen.
Do you get what I'm saying? I'm a child of the king because of what Jesus has done for me. And so are you. Are you getting this? Continue with section 2. You must eat better to be better. Don't despise the seed. Remember I told you? The seed is in the fruit. Feed on Jesus. Feed on the fruits of what Jesus has provided for you through his death, burial, and resurrection. And you'll start growing and flourishing and overflowing in who you are and what you have in him. Continuing on with verse 9 of Samuel 2:9. It says, and the king called, I believe this is how you pronounce it, Ziba, I don't know, Saul's servant, and said to him, I have given to your master's son all that belongs to Saul, and all his house. 10 says, therefore, and your sons and your servants shall work the land for him. Man, you're supposed to have some people working the land for you, man. You understand what I'm saying? See, we got angels that work the land for us. All right, where are people going to come from? The angels are gathering them around. Angel is causing things to happen for you right now. Angel is causing wealth to come your way. Angels is causing things to happen to you and for you. That's their job, to serve you. What? The angels are the servants of the heirs of salvation.
Amen.
That's you and me. See what I'm saying? Look at what it says here. So they're working the land. They're doing things behind the scenes for you. Glory to God. As you stand by faith on the word of God, of who you are and what you have in Jesus. Whew. And it says, look what it says here. I want to read that again. You get it. Say, man, harvest time is coming.
Harvest
time is coming. That's the angel's job. And you, therefore, and your sons and your servants shall work the land for him. And you shall bring in the harvest. Bring in the harvest that your master's son may have food to eat. Glory be to God. That was their job. So here's Mephibosheth. He's now getting the resources of his father's house. Glory to God. He's getting the servants to now work the land King David is giving back to him based on his covenant of love. Yeah. Well, Jesus, this represents Jesus. Based on Jesus' covenant of love for us, he is giving us back what the devil stole from us. He's giving us back our families. He's giving us back our land. Glory to God. Get this, man. You got to get this by faith. But Mephibosheth, your master's son, shall eat bread. Look what it says there. Glory to God. It says, this shall eat bread where? At my table. He was eating bread at his table. Now, once you start eating at the king's table, you change how you see yourself. Not just, see what I'm saying? You'll start changing. Y'all getting this, man? Get this. You'll start seeing yourself as royalty. Glory to God. A special place at the master's table. See what I'm saying? And you will no longer devalue yourself. So why do people devalue themselves? It's because they don't know that they've been invited to sit at the master's table.
Amen.
Glory to God. When you're eating with Jesus, you're sitting at the master's table. And people value you for that. I think Zacchaeus that was up in the tree. And Jesus invited him. Hey, I want to go to your house. Huh? Totally changed Zacchaeus' status. You mean Jesus wanted to talk to Zacchaeus? Yeah. Because when Jesus wants you to come dine with him or he wants to dine with you, that changes your entire status, baby. It changes who you are. You get a better image on the inside. You get the new image of who you are on the inside. You get what I'm saying? And as people see you dining with Jesus, growing and getting healthy and strong in the Lord, people start seeing you different. People value you then. See what I'm saying? So the way the devil devalues you is to keep you separated from the knowledge of who you are and what you have in Jesus. You'll never see your value if no one's building you up in Christ Jesus. I'm going to say it again. You'll never see your value if you're not being built up in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. So, you must eat better to be better. That's what begins to break that lowly bar, that low self-esteem, that spirit of despisement. I'm talking about breaking the spirit of despisement. See, a spirit of despisement can attach itself to you if you would despise yourself. So to break the spirit of despisement, why am I talking about this? Because if you despise yourself, other people will too. Yeah. If you don't value yourself, other people ain't going to value you. You're going to have people in your life that's not going to value you because you don't value yourself. How many people get with cats, guys that don't value them?
Come on.
Because they have no value in themselves. And that's because of the environment, the table you feeding at. Glory to God. You change your environment. You start eating different. You get with you. Man, good God, there's nothing like some good, healthy food, man. See what I'm saying? You start getting and experiencing what it means to be valued. Then you start valuing yourself. That comes as a result of feeding at the table of Jesus. If you're not being fed Jesus, you'll never value yourself in Jesus.
Come on.
Am I blessing you? Man, I didn't reset this thing here, man. Glory to God. Glory to God. Been here 20 minutes. I'm telling you what I know. Enemy fought me for years, devaluing me. And he loves to use religious systems of men to devalue you. Why does he work so hard to devalue you? To make you feel lower than, not good enough. Because you got a treasure in you. That treasure is like a mustard seed. And if that mustard seed of purpose that's in you ever get in the right environment,
come on,
you will destroy his works. It'll change your life and change the life of other people. That's why he works to devalue you. So God will put you in tough positions, not to make you feel less than, but to show you how strong you really are.
Glory to God.
Do you get what I'm saying? He'll start showing you your value. Why is this so hard? So he can show you how strong you are in Christ. When you hold on to him, when you stand in him, you stand in his strength. Then you'll see how to break through circumstances in your life. I'm telling you, we're breaking glass ceilings. And that glass ceiling is a ceiling that makes you feel devalued. As long as you see yourself less than, you won't break out the box. You're good enough to do what God called you to do. And you know what? There's people that know you are. They know you got a gift, but they don't want to impart into you. They want to use you. Don't say that again. They know you got a gift from God, but they don't want to impart into you. They want to use you. Spirit of manipulation. So when you break out the box, you get away from all those people. I mean, this spirit, I'm talking about the spirit, man. This spirit is so ruthless. It'll have your own children devalue you, despise you. They looking at some other parent. I wish you was like Johnny's parents. That's a spirit behind that thing, devouring you. And when it devalues you, it's to devour you. It's after the seed of your purpose, that mustard seed of faith. He know you believe in Jesus, but if he can just devalue you and keep you locked in that box. Look, the meaning or the etymology, that word means the study or the origin of words. The root word means to cleave. The Hebrew root word means, we're talking about Mephibosheth's name. Sorry, I didn't tell you. This is talking about Mephibosheth's name. So the root value, the root of Mephibosheth's name is to cleave, to break apart, and it also means to shame. So the combined meaning of Mephibosheth's name is one who breaks apart shame and ends of shame, an end of shame. So you got to break free from shame. You got to break free from feeling insignificant. See, the enemy wants to shame you. It's the same as devaluing you. It's to shame you, make you feel like you're not good enough. You're sitting in the seats and Reverend just beating you down, telling you all the things that ain't right with you. Oh, man. Man, I don't care if people get mad at me. I've been there. All the sin, both sorry, and the glory of God. Man, but we ain't sinners. We're practicing righteousness. Tell me who I am in my righteousness. And I'll stop walking in church with my head down, scared of you beating me up, Reverend. My heart is to live right, but you keep telling me how wrong I am. You listen, you'll never rise above until you get fed who you are in Christ Jesus. Until you see yourself the way God sees you in Christ. That's my job as a man of God, is to build you up so you can see who you are in Christ. And a real man of God that's called by God is going to build you up in who you are in Christ. It's one thing to tell you that you're missing it. It's another thing to tell you how to hit it. I remember I was getting my CCWs, my concealed carry weapon. You know, for concealed carry license. And so I'm there shooting at the target. And the trainer's standing behind me. And I mean, I'm missing the target, man. But listen, get this. I'm trying to hit the target. See, if you're coming to church, you're trying to learn. You're trying to hit the target. Stop pointing out all my insufficiencies. See, you got to stop hanging around people that's pointing out all your insufficiencies and show you your sufficiency in Christ. When you know you're sufficient in Christ, you rise above your insufficiencies. You get what I'm saying? And so he's standing behind me and he's looking. And he said, raise it up a hair. I raise it up a hair. Pow! Hit the target. Can you see where you're at now? Hit it again. Pow! Hit the target. I was off by a hair. I couldn't see it because I've never shot the gun before. I'd never shot a gun before to hit a target. And so my trainer stood behind me and showed me how to adjust my sight so I can hit the target properly. I had to adjust for some things. I didn't see that thing. Are you getting, I know I'm teaching good dog on it, and that's the man, that's a man of God's job, is to show you how to hit the target, not keep beating you up for missing the target. If you're on Team Jesus, you're already on the team, baby. The coach's job is to show you how to play better so you can be better, not to keep beating you up. And yes, sometimes we got to correct you, but the correction is not to beat you down. The correction is to redirect you to the right way of doing it so you can get the results, doggone it. Now, why did I bring that up? Because I discovered. I had a rocket science idea. I had a flash of lightning thought. Reverend, if you can't tell me how to do it, obviously you don't know how. So you have no resources in your arsenal to build me up in Christ. You just want people to come to church. But you have no resources to build people up in Christ. Well, there lies the problem. Now, that was my experience. But when I got around men and women that had the resources to build me up in Christ, then you start flourishing. And that's what happens, that's happening in my life. So you got to break away. You got to break apart the shame. Stop being in a place that's shaming and condemning you. And I can tell it by the way people talk. Well, you know, I'm just a sinner. No, you're not. You can't be a sinner if you're the righteousness of God. You can't be both. So now, getting back to 2 Samuel 5 through 9. Mephibosheth, just want to read this to you. He was crippled. Mephibosheth was crippled and lived in obscurity in a place called Lodibar. But he was brought before King David. Though he saw himself as nothing more than a dead dog, David showed him his covenant of kindness for Jonathan's sake. David restored to him all the land of Saul, and gave him servants to work it. Listen to this, but more importantly, he invited Mephibosheth to eat continually at his table. And that's what salvation is about. It's you're being invited to eat at Jesus' table continually. This story reveals that God's grace lifts us from shame and self-despisement in honor. See what I'm saying? Into a place of honor, restoration, and fellowship with the King. What am I getting at? It's the environment you're in, baby. To get that mustard seed of faith seed that you believe in, that dream seed, you got to be planted in the right environment. You got to know where you fit. When you find where you fit, you'll bloom. We had this thing as when we was riding motorcycles, you know, we talked about you got to get in where you fit in, baby. You got to get in where you fit in. See? And once you find out where you fit, you'll flourish. Say that again. When you find where you fit, you'll flourish. A lot of people ain't flourishing because they're afraid to break free. You got to break out. I can't help nobody break out. You got to break out the box. You got to break out that glass ceiling. You got to break out those areas that's got you in boundaries, putting you in places, got you in places that you don't belong. You have dreams and desires and you want more God. You scared to move on, Radio. Radio had a learning disability. Not trying to make fun of it because it was a true story. But some of you, it's time to move on and grow. You can't continue to eat on sixth grade food when you're supposed to go to high school. It ain't gonna work. That's why you're stuck and stagnant and frustrated and talking about this and talking about that and looking at junk on Facebook. You ought to be a lot farther along in who you are in Christ Jesus, but you are not because you're not eating better. And a lot of people don't desire to eat better. They want to eat junk food all the time. That's why you get unhealthy eating junk. Yeah. I got my ears tuned to Jesus. I don't care who he is. I don't care how many degrees he got. If he ain't building me up in who I am in Jesus, I don't listen to it. I'm not teaching the principles and the kingdoms of the principles and the mysteries of the kingdom so I can put them to practice in my life and get results. I turn my ear off now. All right, enough of that. So this story reveals that God's grace lifts us up from shame and self-despisement in honor, restoration, and fellowship with the King. So eating at the King's table gives you a new and healthy inner image of who you are in Christ Jesus. Remember I said in the last teaching, the seed in the seed is the fruit. Excuse me, in the fruit is the seed. In Mark 8, 23 through 26, this is section 3. Section 3. Check my time here. This is section 3. Got about 15 minutes. In section 3, freedom from the spirit of despisement. Breaking free. Freedom from the spirit of despisement. This is powerful stuff if you listen. You got to get free from that. So you can't despise the seed of God's word. You can't despise the principles of God's word. You can't despise the ways of God's word. So when you refuse to despise the principles of God's word that seems very insignificant in size, in methodology that he asked you to do, it's very insignificant. Speak to your mountains. Speak to your problems in the name of Jesus. Speak what the word says you have in Jesus. That's the truth. That's what Jesus told us to do. Speak to your mountains, oppositions, and problems.
Amen.
All right. And Mark 8, 22 through 26, and Jesus healed the blind man at Bethesda. His first vision, or when he first opened his eyes, or he told him to look, he says, I see men like trees walking. This was a spiritual glimpse. This glimpse is deeply symbolic. Men are like trees planted by the rivers of water, meant to bear fruit in season. Say that again. Men are like trees planted by rivers of water, meant to bear fruit in its season. I never forget back in the day when I read that. That's the first thing I saw. It clicked. I see men walking as trees. So whatever fruit that's in a person's life has been planted there. You are like walking trees. So that's why when you get all that junk out of you and you plant the word in you, the enemy trying to shut that seed down with them weeds. Why? Because if you ever get that tree grown in your life, you ever understand the power of the mustard seed, how that tree going to grow and become, you're going to change your life and the life of others around you. You become a hope to them. They know where you came from. You came from a place of nowhere and nothing, and God takes you to a greater level, and you go, whoa, what happened? I applied the principles of the word. I got rid of all that religious stuff, and I did what Jesus said do. I applied the principles. And when we apply the principles, we succeed. So he says, I see men walking like trees. So this is a powerful glimpse of men walking in trees planted by rivers of water, meant to bear fruit in season. In Psalms 1:3, powerful. Just as the mustard seed begins small but grows into a great tree where birds find rest, according to Matthew 13, 31, 32, so the kingdom of God transforms our inner image. This is what I'm getting. That mustard seed faith of who you are, what God has done for you, the plan he has for your life, it may be in small seed form, but you continue to nourish it. It germinates and now it's growing. You protect that seed. How do I protect it? By staying around people that don't put weeds in you of doubt and disbelief, trying to still bring back the past. So that the kingdom of God transforms our inner image. What begins as a seed of faith with in us grows into trees of righteousness. According to Isaiah 61:3, we become trees of righteousness with fruits for the healing of the nations. Glory to God. I know I'm teaching Revelation today. You get what I'm saying? If you read your Bible, some of this stuff should be popping in you. And if it's popping in you, it's because it's time to get this understanding so you can be used effectively by God. You need to know who you are and how this stuff works.
Amen.
Hallelujah. A child cannot reproduce. You get what I'm saying? There's a time appointed. You are a slave until you become a child. You're under tutors and guardians until you become, as long as you're a child. But once you mature, you get free from a guardian or a tutor or your parents Why? So you can go reproduce on your own. So maturity is a person that is ready to reproduce in revelation knowledge of who they are and what they have in Christ Jesus. Amen. to get that fruit of that reality on the inside of you, so that you can grow into a tree that has fruits. Religion has leaves with no fruit. It looks pretty, but it ain't got no fruit to Jesus. That's why you got to curse that thing at the roots.
Yes.
See what I'm saying? You got to get to the root of the problem. The root of the problem is they ain't got no fruits. They just got leaves and it look like God is in it.
Mm-hmm.
But fruits got seed. And see, when you got seed, you can reproduce sons and daughters of the Most High God. In the book of Isaiah 18, it says, my children are set. Are given for signs and wonders. You are supposed to be used by God for signs and wonders. Lay hands on the sick and they recover. Why ain't you believing that? Because they don't believe in who they are in Jesus. They don't believe in the authority that Jesus has given them. They don't believe in the authority of Jesus. Why? Because it's religion. Religion will never allow you to believe in the authority of Jesus because it's of a demonic influence that keeps you as a child that can't reproduce. Yeah. Man. Whew. Glory to God. Man. Hallelujah. So anyway, the enemy's strategy is to distort the image so that you despise yourself or to despise ourselves. Well, don't let that happen. Are only and see only weaknesses and fear and for you to feel insignificant. But Jesus restores our sight so that we can see clearly who we are in Him, planted, fruitful, and strong in Him. Glory to God. Continue with section 3, freedom from the spirit of despisement. It's a spirit. The fact that people despise the teachings and the principles of Jesus, it's a spirit. And if you despise the ways of Jesus, you got a spirit of despisement that hangs around you. Peter, he once struggled with fear and denial of Jesus. He was changed from the inside out by his time spent with Jesus. So at the gate, beautiful. He believed in the power of the name of Jesus and commanded the lame man to stand up and walk in Acts 3:6. Peter had seen Jesus healing others, and now he did the same because the life of Christ was alive on the inside of him. The religious leaders called Peter and John unlearned and what? Ordinary men. Unlearned. What does he say? That was their way of look. They looked down on them. They despised them. Even religious people can't say this to you today. You're lay people. I felt that by the Spirit of God. They call you laymen. They call you laymen. When the purpose of the fivefold ministry is to build you up for the equipping of the work of the ministry, you're supposed to do the work of the ministry. You're supposed to be able to go lay hands on the sick and to recover. But what's the problem? They're not building you up so that you can walk. You're still sitting there begging and crying, oh, Pastor, pray for me. My job is to teach you how to pray for yourself, pray for your family. My God, go to the hospital, lay hands on your friend, and they get off respirators.
Come on.
Family members. They're not teaching you who you are in Jesus and your authority. You laymen. Still laying there begging. At the gate, beautiful. Look what he says here, man. That's why the devil don't like me. Because I got things I'm trying to get into God's people to grow up. So you can believe and lay it on the sick and they recover. Stop crying all the time. Time to grow up and do the work of Jesus. Hallelujah. So they despised them. They were uneducated. But in all of their education, they wasn't getting nobody up off the ground, growing out new feet. He was begging for arms and God gave him some legs. No. Glory to God. Jesus. He changed them from the inside out. giving them courage and authority and boldness in his name.
Yes.
Because it's all about the power that God has given Jesus. The same transformation is available to us when we live from the inside out. We live from the opinions. The opinions of men begin to fade. See, when you feed at the table of Jesus and you get to know him, who he is, and his power and his authority that he's given to you to act on his behalf, you don't care about some religious person that ain't got no faith in Jesus. What's they problem? They ain't got no faith in Jesus. That's their problem. Their opinions fade away. The power of Jesus shines through you. Glory to God. In the kingdom. In the kingdom. I'm going to go ahead and close out here. In the kingdom, the way we see ourselves is a direct reflection of how we see others. This is a principle. How you see yourself is how you see others. And how you see yourself inside is how others see you. This is a principle. This is the way it works. If you see yourself as not good enough, you project that same value onto others. You at work walking around with your head down, shuffling and carrying on, talking to them, talking about, oh man, this is a terrible day, this, that, and the other. But you've been going to church all your life, then you turn around and brag about how awesome your church is, and I've been there all my life. And why you sit up there chiding with sinners? Yeah, man, I tell you what, this is terrible. Yeah, man, we went to church, man. Pastor did it. He preached, man. What did he preach about? What did he preach about? I know y'all don't like when I say this, but y'all know I'm telling the truth. What did he preach about? Man, I don't know who's good, boy. Who's good? Who's good? It's just, man. What scripture? What chapter and verse? What scriptures? What did he talk about? Did you go home and study it? Did you take notes? No, you just held your Bible and you're like this and you did all this. You're childish. And you're stuck. You don't want to grow up. So anyway, how you see yourself is how you're going to project yourself to others. You have no value. You'll have no value towards others. People can sense it. They see the lack of confidence. Your head held low. Spirit weighed down. But when you spend time with Jesus, he lifts us up and gives us confidence in who we are in him. Open up your gates and let the King of Glory come in. Continuing my closing remarks. For those with low self-esteem often struggle to build others up. You know, you can't build nobody up if you ain't built up in who you are. And I ain't talking about some old religious stuff because I got a few degrees behind my name. I'm talking about building you up in who you are in Jesus. I'm not talking about no psychology. I'm talking about spirituality, Christology, building you up. Paul said, my little children, I labor again to form Christ in you, not some intellectual mindset in you. We form Christ in you, not some intellectual mindset in you. Intellect has its place, but when it comes to the kingdom, no, we walk by faith, not by sight. And your intellect go, oh God, why? Because intellect trying to figure out the natural how of things. I'm gonna say it again. The intellect is trying to find out the natural how of things. But our whole entire faith is based on miracles. We serve a miracle working God. Our whole Christianity is based on a woman that had a child that never was with a man. So why are you so logical with this faith thing, with your religious? It's no way. See, you're already living by faith. And no, that don't make no common sense. That don't make no natural sense that a woman got pregnant and never been with a man. How can that be? But then you get mad at somebody and say, yeah, Jesus said you can lay hands on the sick and they recover. See, religion is pride and arrogance. These spirits of insecurity and despisement work hand in hand. I found out something, that people that got problem with people that trust Jesus and the word of God for real, they're really insecure. Your faith makes them insecure. I didn't know that. My faith made people that are faithless insecure. Well, that's your problem. I'm not trying to make you insecure. I'm just telling you, I'm just believing what the words say. Why do you feel insecure? Because you actually have a spirit that's attached to you. The system, Satan's system, is to have a group of people that think they're all that, and another group of people that think they're not. And that's how he suppresses all of them. Here they're in the Roman government. They, in Jesus' time, they was in captive to Rome. And Satan set up a system where he let them have a religious system of leaders to suppress another group of people. So these religious mindsets thought they was better than these people. And Rome allowed them to persecute each other and do whatever each other in the name of their religion. Why? Because as long as they're fighting each other, they won't fight Rome. So Satan understands, as long as the body of Christ is fighting each other, they won't fight him. It's the same Roman system that's in the earth that was in Jesus' day. But it's not until we start putting our faith in Jesus, looking to the Jesus who's the author and the finisher of our faith, that we're able to tear down Satan's kingdom.
Amen.
So stop despising people. It's not my fault that you don't believe this book. You got to read it and believe it with your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not preaching stupidity. I'm preaching faith. Faith is believing what the words say. You still do the natural things necessary, but you still believe for the miracle working power of God. You don't throw your medicine away. You take your medicine and say, Lord, I thank you that by his stripes I was healed. You go back to the doctor and the doctor say, you don't need this medicine no more.
Lord.
You understand? You got to get your ears tuned to what they're really saying and stop beating people up that has answers that will help you. Well, praise the Lord. Father God, I preached and taught this to the best of my ability. I know the enemy don't want people to hear this. But there is a group of people you've ordained for this house to grow up so they can mature and walk in the things of Jesus. So that you can use them to bring Satan's kingdom down and put it under their feet. So they can pull down every stronghold of the enemy that has hurt them. Their family members, their friends, Father God. They have been set for signs and wonders. Give them the courage to grow up and to move and graduate into the things of you, Father God. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Well, I'm done. I ain't going to talk about nothing else today.